And so there are too many of us, we're stuck on a lower level because we can't stand to have somebody be critical of us.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today as we continue a message, How to Thrive When Criticized. And Pastor, we've been talking about the benefits of criticism, how we evaluate that today, spending a little time thinking about the fact that, you know, if we do wilt under criticism every time, we're never going to achieve all that we could or maybe all that God has for us.
Oh, yeah, because you're always going to find somebody that's critical. But the question is not, are they critical of what you're doing? The question is, are you doing what God has commanded you to do? Understanding you're going to get criticism. Think about Moses. Here he is now. He's going to Pharaoh, let God's people go, because God told him. Now get to the end of the script. They're between the rock and the hard place, the proverbial rock and the hard place. They got the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh behind them, two mountains on the side of them. And what do they say? Moses, you brought us out here to kill us in this wilderness. We remember the leeks and the onions that we did eat when we were in Egypt. In other words, why didn't you just let us stay where we were? Now, he's doing what God called him to do. He's setting God's people free. They've come to the place where there's an impasse, this problem where you have to learn to depend totally on God. And what do? They criticize Moses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people will get at who they can get at.
Sure.
And so, long story short, they knew that God had called Moses. He showed them 10 plagues against Egypt. And now you still have some criticism of the man of God because he brought you to where God wanted you to be.
Really shows how fickle people can be.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, that's good for us to keep in mind as we do face this criticism. As we've talked about earlier in this short message, to evaluate the validity of that, because sometimes it's not there and we let invalid criticism cripple us from maturing and accomplishing what God has called us to do.
You look at anybody, Steve, who's accomplished anything, and what you'll find is they had to push past the criticism to get where they are.
Yeah.
And I tell every believer, look, the word can't isn't in the dictionary of deity.
That's good. Well, I hope you'll open your Bible to Acts chapter 11 as we continue today's message entitled, How to Thrive When Criticized. Here is Pastor Ford.
Now, even though you went to public school, how many of you read Aesop's Fables? Oh, okay, not enough of you. But anyway, let me tell you, Aesop was a writer, and he wrote these little stories, and all of the stories had a moral. Let me tell you the story of the man, the boy, and the donkey, according to Aesop. An old man and a boy and a donkey were walking down the street. They went past a group of people, and the old man heard the people whispering to themselves, they're stupid for not riding the donkey.
All right, now.
So the old man heard that criticism, and he said, son, get up on the donkey. You ride, I'll pull. He went past another group of people, Damien, and they start whispering. They said, look at that disrespectful young child letting that old man walk, and he ride. Well, the old man heard it, and he decided, okay, I'll ride the donkey and let the boy pull it. And so he got on the donkey and the boy was pulling it. And he went past a group of people and he heard them say, now that's a shame. Got that little boy pulling that old man on that donkey. Old man heard it. He got off the donkey and he figured, okay, what do we need to do? So him and the boy carried the donkey. What's the moral of the story? You already know it, don't you? No matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be critical of what you do. there's my point. I said, I'm preaching on it. Just being critical of people. And so everybody has at one time been a critic. And everybody has had somebody criticize them about something. If it wasn't your body, it was your clothes. If it wasn't your clothes, it was your actions. If it wasn't your actions, it was your character. If it wasn't your character, it was your motive. If it wasn't your motive, it was your family. If it wasn't your family, it was your friends. If it wasn't your friends, it was your job. If it wasn't your job, it was your church. If it wasn't your church, it was your pastor. And so if we're honest, most of us don't handle criticism very well. I'm going to talk about it a little in a minute. But I know you feel like I do whenever I've been criticized. You know how I feel? I think to myself, oh no, how in the world could they criticize somebody as nice as I am? I mean, after all, I confess my faults, if I had any. Oh, I'm sorry, I do. I have four. And so, listen, how do you avoid criticism? Let's see who was listening last week. How did I say you avoid criticism? Die. And do you avoid it? No, you just can't hear it. Come on, you've been to services, homegoing and funeral, that somebody got something to say about somebody that's dead. Look at him, he dressed better than he ever been dressed. And so remember, the only thing I'm going to say from last week, Aristotle said, the only way to avoid criticism is to say nothing, is to do nothing, and to be nothing. And so that's the only way you avoid it. And listen, there's some people don't look around because we don't want anybody to get convicted. But some people, it's the only exercise they get. Jumping to conclusions, running down the saints, sidestepping, slide to the right, responsibilities, and pushing their gossip. And so as a matter of fact, the higher your position, the bigger your criticism will be and the more that you're going to get. You want to know why? Ask me why. Because some people will slap you on your back in your face and slap you in your face behind your back. You ain't praying with me. See, a lot of people don't realize that blowing out the other person's candle doesn't make yours shine any brighter. Yeah. Now you can help me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Look at somebody and say, criticizing my garden. Don't get the weeds out of yours. Yeah. And so if I'm stepping on your toes, take your shoes off so I can get a better shot. We've got to get a handle on criticism, especially in the church. I'm telling you, there's nobody that can cut you down and make you feel smaller than a church person. Amen. Can't nobody mess up your praise quicker than a church person. Come on, you know it. You walk in ready to praise the Lord, and the greeter at the door had a bad week. And, okay, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. And so we've got God's word to help us deal with criticism better. Let's walk through real quick. Let's finish it up. I'm going to drop them. I'm not going to push too many of them. But in the text that we've been studying, Acts chapter 11, 1 through 18, Peter has been hanging out in the Gentile hood. He's over at Cabrini Green, which is something a good Jew did not do. But God had told him to. Stop. Put a pin in it. There are times when God will have us do something that breaks with the status quo. And people will not accept what we are saying, even though God told us, because they're not ready for it yet, or because they ain't feeling it yet, or because God hasn't told them yet. And the tragedy of the church is that many of us will allow criticism to keep us from going to the next level, keep us from breaking out of the box, keep us from what God has for us, failing to realize that if we stay down there with the critics, because you know you can't keep a person down unless you stay there with them. That we allow somebody to keep us down where God is moving us from, that we break fellowship with God and miss out on all that. See, the reason why you can't get the man God said you should have is because you're still messing around with the old one. And so there are too many of us, we're stuck on a lower level because we can't stand to have somebody be critical of us. I tell you. Yeah, God's telling Peter to break with the status quo, and it's daring, and it's innovative, and it's risky, and by his very nature, it's going to draw criticism. So we talked about Noah before. Look at all the criticism he must have had. So you help me out. You help me out. I know you know the word. What did Noah do that had never been done before? He built an ark. They tell me it's 3 football fields long, and he was building it for what? Rain, which had never what? Happened before. It had never rained. Wait a minute. God said, I'm going to make rain. Noah said, what's rain? You don't have to ask me what it is. I'm telling you what I'm about to do. Just build the boat. You don't need to know what it is. I ain't never felt rain, seen rain, touched rain, but that's all right. I know it's going to rain because God said it. It's going to rain. And so I'm going to build a boat where? 3,000 miles away from the nearest water. And I'm going to build it for how long? 120 years. And how many times did God tell him? One time in 120 years, he told him on that first day, build the boat, and never had to tell him again. Okay, how many times he tell you stuff?
All right.
And so I done told you before, I'll just say it again. You'd have loved to have been in his church, wouldn't you? Pastor Noah's at the pulpit this morning at the 8 o'clock service. Saints, God bless you. Here's my sermon. Ebonically, 3 words. In English, 4. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. All right, take the offering. I'll see you next Sunday. And for 120 years, that was his sermon. Can you imagine the Chris? Look at that fool building a boat. I don't believe this. Don't make sense. Ain't no water around. He's on top of a mountain. So Peter understands, doesn't he? Because Peter does this and starts a new thing. And I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but think about the effect of what Peter did. Because he did something new, because he broke out of the box that nobody else had done, what happens? The Jews are impacted for the glory of God. And the Gentiles are impacted for the glory of God. And the church is expanded for the glory of God. And the world is touched for the glory of God. How do you know that somebody is keeping you from the all that God has for you because they can't see beyond what they have been able to see? Man, we got to do something about this.
But what do we do? We're going to find out in just a few moments. Stay tuned here to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr. We're in the middle of a message entitled How to Thrive When Criticized, taking a look at Acts 11. And we're going to get back to this teaching in just a little bit. Speaking of Pastor Ford's teaching, if you're ever in the Chicago area, you can always visit Christ Bible Church of Chicago and hear Pastor Ford speak live. You can get more information at our website. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on the About link. When you're at the website, you'll also find links there to social media. So if you've not done so before, I hope you'll follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. You can even listen to this broadcast directly from your Facebook news feed. So again, come to our website. You'll find the links you need there. It's treasuretruthradio.org. Again, here's Pastor Ford.
Now, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and the news of what he did got there before he did. And so we're not told in the text how it got there before he did. Because where he was in that great metropolis city of Caesarea, which was a capital of the province for Rome, that's why it was called Caesarea, named after Caesar, and he's at Jerusalem, the other great, so 2 great centers. Let me tell you how far that news had to travel. 50 miles. They're 50 miles away. That's 4 miles beyond Joliet. I don't know what happened, how it got there. In my sanctified imagination, you know what I see? Somebody Instagrammed the picture of Peter with that pig on the tape. Somebody put it on Facebook. No, somebody probably had a cell phone. So what you had was a smartphone with a dumb person calling. And they probably said, you won't believe what Shaquisha told Ray Ray that Peter did in Caesarea. Now, the more spiritual folk, here's how they did it. I got a prayer request. And we got to get this out over the Yahoo group. Peter was eating pig feet. So they came to Peter and they said, Peter, we heard it through the grapevine that you were eating hog head cheese sandwiches and ham sandwiches with non-kosher folk. And they criticized Peter. Ask me why. Because small minds and big mouths often go together. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So here it is. Here's the first one. What do you do to thrive when you're criticized? Number one, you must have meaningful evaluation. What must you have? Talk back to me. I want to hear you. Yeah, that's in verses 1-3. Meaningful evaluation. And two things need to be evaluated according to these verses. The critiques and the criticism. Why? Because who they are determines what they see, and what they see determines what they say. So they didn't see what he saw, so they didn't say what he said. Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. I'll just preach to myself. If she can sing to herself, I'll just preach for me, because I'm enjoying this. They're not going where he's going, so they can't see it. They didn't hear what he heard, so they can't deal with it. And so now, what do? Let me walk down and tell you what they do. First of all, it says they draw conclusions with all of the information. How do I know that? Heard. Go ahead, look at somebody and say, that's gossip. Yeah, that's what that is. Because they just heard that Peter was eating. They don't have all of the information, and they make a superficial evaluation based on superficial communication. You ever know anybody that does that kind of stuff? Here's what Proverbs 18:13 says. Let me do it in the Message translation. Forgive me, Elder Green. Listen, answering before listening is both stupid and rude. All right. I like that translation.
Yeah.
I like, you go face that. Yeah, Facebook that. Yeah, because what's going on? He's saying, listen, how in the world are you going to come against something and you don't know all the facts? And how many times we do it? Now let me get this straight. Let me tell you who you are and what you are if you receive this kind of stuff. You need to understand you're as bad as they are. If somebody comes to you and they give you information, you need to find out what that information is all about, who they're talking about, where they got it from. Before you entertain it. And then you know what happens. You tell this person something, and he tells this person something, and by the time it gets to the back pew, you won't even recognize. Everybody done add a little bit to it. And notice what they do. They make up their minds without the benefit of the other person's input. How do you know that? Because verse 4 tells us, but Peter. In other words, Peter, they didn't go to the primary source. So let me tell you this. If we could do this, look, I'm not preaching just to be preaching something. I'm looking for a change. We say, what change are you looking for? Here's the change I'm looking for in this congregation. I go to Brother David. Hey, Brother David, have you heard about Samson Green? Well, wait a minute. Brother David's going to say to me, wait a minute, Pastor Ford, please stop. Pull over, put a quarter in the meter, park it for a minute. Pastor Ford, this information, is it, did it come from Elder Green? Well, no, it didn't. Okay, then stop. I don't want to hear it. Because right now, you've just become a gossip pastor. Because the Bible says, if you have, well, it's not me, it's somebody else. Okay, well, then you became a garbage can listening to their mess. You should have held them accountable, because now you're being unbiblical. Isn't that how it's supposed to go? It ought to be like Miss Vaharrell. I say it all the time, but I don't care. I'll repeat it. That somebody came to Miss Vaharrell, and they said, you know, I'm about tired of Pastor Ford and his mess and such. She said, hold up. You just made three mistakes. Number one, you talked about my pastor.
That's right.
Yeah, he's my pastor. Now, he's not perfect, and he tells you that, but he's my pastor. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put you straight right now. You can't come to me and talk about my pastor to me.
Right.
Number two, you talked about my pastor to me. You got to be out of your mind. Number three, you better go talk to my pastor because, and this was on a Saturday, food pantry. She said, because Wednesday, I'm going to ask him, did you come to him because you have some ought against him?
Oh, that's right.
The brother called me on Tuesday. Pastor Ford, I need to talk to you. We talked. We got everything straightened out. I mean, it was about nepotism. you know? And I said, nepotism? Where's nepotism? And he said, well, you know, you hired your son in one time and you hired your son. I said, oh, but when I hire your three children while they were in college in our after school program, was that nepotism? When I say there's a job in the church and I hire church people, is that nepotism? I got a question for you. Did my son keep the church clean? Yes, he did. One of the best janitors we ever had. Then that's not nepotism. Does my son keep everything going in the IT ministry? Yes, he does. Well, then that's not nepotism. Come on, man, preach. So then I then said, but I'm so glad you came to me and didn't spread this mess all over the church. Then Vi comes to me on Wednesday. Did so-and-so come to you and tell you they had a problem with you? I said, how you know about that? Because they came to me first. And so I called the brother. I said, man, you remember I gave you a compliment for being biblical? Yeah, I take it back. I take it back. You came to me because of accountability. And I thought you were being man enough to come to me and say, hey, I got a problem with you. No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking about what I'm talking about. Just saying what I'm saying, you know? Hey, you got your own issue. Put your name in it. Because guess what? Just like they talking about me, somebody talking about you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Without the benefit of your input. And you know that ain't right. Say, that ain't right. Yeah. That's right. They need to come to you and get the thing. And even if it's true, at least you have the opportunity to be able to say something. Now, notice what they did here in 1-3. They put their limitations on Peter. In other words, they're saying, if I wouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. If it doesn't make sense to me, it shouldn't make sense to you. If I don't think it should be done, neither should you.
Well, can't we all relate to that? You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called How to Thrive When Criticized. And we're going to continue this teaching on our next broadcast. You know, maybe you joined us halfway through the broadcast today. You want to go back and listen to what you missed or a previous broadcast in the series. You can listen to each and every program online. Just come to our website. It is treasuredtruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, as someone tunes in and listens to Moody Radio, not only are they going to hear this Bible teaching program, but just a wide array or variety of programming that can really be used to encourage and help them grow in their walk with Christ.
Oh, yes. And you're going to hear things that are going to build you up in your most precious faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to me. I say it all the time, but, you know, sometimes what we do is we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to amass bills we can't pay to please people we don't like and don't care anyway. We are going to be held accountable for our stewardship. Isn't it amazing that we can send it ahead by giving to Moody Radio?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, because that's an investment that draws a dividend that has eternal consequences. And I mean, when you invest in Moody Radio, you are actually investing in the only two things that last forever, the Word of God and the souls of men and women.
Well, you can make an investment right now by coming to our website. It is treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the donate button. We need both the ongoing monthly gifts and the one-time gifts. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for giving and for listening. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.